KALW.
Being chased from one sound to the other, we put them all together. It came out psychedelic gospel soul.
Lester Chambers from the legendary band The Chambers Brothers talks about the highs and the lows of his life and music career.
Never stop doing what you love because, you know, music is like our sunlight, so we need that to bloom.
He and his son Dylan talk about how their current band, Moon Alice, has given them life. Then baseball legend Orlando Cepeda shares what it was like to grow up in the sport.
My dad was a great ball player. Still, I don't want to be like my dad.
And we'll check out an old-time ball game with wool uniforms, tiny gloves, and good sportsmanship.
It's a wonderful thing. It's baseball without jerks.
That is a wonderful thing. That's coming up. I'm Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. Back in the 1960s, a group of brothers from Mississippi introduced a fresh sound to the world, psychedelic soul. The Chambers Brothers are the voices behind timeless classics like The Time Has Come and People Get Ready, and the band was featured in the Oscar-winning 2021 documentary Summer of Soul. Lester Chambers co-founded the group, and he's based in the Bay Area. At 82, he is still rocking it out on stage, but now with his son, Dylan. They're part of a psychedelic soul rock band called Moon Alice, and they'll be performing at Bottle Rock Festival this weekend. KALW's Janae Darden spoke with Lester and Dylan Chambers about their bond, their struggles, and the power of music in their lives.
You all brought this sound, this psychedelic soul, psychedelic funk sound.
Right.
Before groups like Sly and the Family Stone. So did you kind of predate them?
We did, yes. And we sort of had nowhere else to go but there because we had been chased every place we stopped, you know. We only wanted to be a gospel group. Mm-hmm. And that was taken away from us because we were of different sizes or because of age. And couldn't afford the same, a tailor to make clothes for us. So we couldn't afford a uniform ever. So that was the reason we had left to go to the coffee houses. And then when we go to the coffee houses, it was not accepted after a while because we were claimed to be singing gospel in front of people that drank alcohol, which was not in the pleasant sight of God.
So these are just like regular restaurants, but they served alcohol too, the coffee house.
Yeah, they would serve sandwiches, coffee, tea, cider, and stuff like that. But then they would also serve, not all of them, some of them would serve wine and beer.
Okay.
And then we got called to do the Newport Folk Festival in 1964, where we went. Mm-hmm. And we were told there not to use the electric guitar, but it was all we had, was an electric and an acoustic. So we had to use the electric guitar regardless to what the promoter said. And we did, and it was before Bob Dylan. And I guess the combination of being chased from one sound to the other, and when we put them all together, it came out psychedelic gospel soul.
And I have to ask, and I asked your forgiveness earlier for my ignorance, because mm-hmm. I knew your music, but I didn't know the name of the group. And mm-hmm. when I saw the documentary Summer of Soul, which has won an Academy Award, and the Chambers Brothers came on, I immediately got up. I was in my living room watching it. And I got up, and I was grooving in my living room. I love to dance, but that really called me to dance. What was it like to see that footage of you performing at that Harlem Festival in 1969?
I'm going uptown to Harlem, gonna let my hair down.
It was the most amazing and wonderful thing I thought I would ever witness in my time. I thought I would never see that footage, but God is good. You know, here it was. Thanks. Questlove, he did such a wonderful, great job on the editing and everything was so beautifully put in place.
Did it bring back memories just watching that video?
Oh, yeah. I was a young man then. And, you know, I could run a mile without stopping. But and sing at the same time. But, you know, it brought back such memories because there I was thinking about everything, all the people. There were so many different people. I never seen Central Park so full of people. And Central Park probably never had so many people as the Summer of Soul. It was just a great, great gathering. And the greatest thing about it was there was no injuries. There were no reason for the police to be there because everybody had, let's be good. And everybody was.
Were you ever, like, nervous? I mean, because it was so many people. Were you nervous getting up on that stage, or were you excited? Or you all knew you guys were just going to just rock it?
I was excited. I couldn't wait to do it. You know, when it comes time to sing, I'm going uptown to Harlem, man, that was the joy of my life for that day, singing that song, Uptown. The concert was in Harlem, the Harlem part of Central Park. So to sing that song and have all those people there, you know, which just went, it was beautiful. All I can say, it was too beautiful.
I hate to I'm gonna have to just change the subject a little bit. I know that the Chambers Brothers, you all had some hardship. Mm-hmm. And you made these hit records like Time Has Come Today, and it's been used, that song has been used in TV shows, movies, commercials. And unfortunately, like so many Black artists of your era, mm-hmm. the record company has not paid you what you deserve to be paid. I know you were homeless at a time. How have things turned around for you?
Moon Alice turned everything around. And those days are in the past. Those times are in the past, and I'm doing great, and I'm happy, and I'm healthy.
Time has come today. Young hearts to go their way.
And how has Moon Alice changed your life?
Well, it got me out of that comfortable chair I was sitting in when I got the first phone call from Roger. And I've been up since then. I've been getting better. I've been getting better ever since that because I know there is something to do. And there's a reason for me not to feel bad and not to feel ever that anything in my past is in my past.
So Dylan, what's it like performing with your dad and collaborating?
Yeah, it's fantastic now to, you know, be able to share this energy and be on stage together and transfer history to the new generations.
Yeah, and people can't see, but when I mentioned you performed with your dad leaned on you, and I definitely could feel the love. So, you know, you mentioned, Dylan, about a future generations, and, you know, I'm thinking of your father, Mr. Chambers. This is music from the Chambers Brothers. Much of it was about, you know, the call for change, especially during that time of civil rights movement. And now we're looking at today, the list is endless of all kinds of things happening as far as when it comes to social justice. How is Moon Alice's music right now important for this era?
Well, we're a big band and we're diverse, especially in the jam, rock, psychedelic era of music. Music has gotten resegregated again, right? Like, you know, like when you think of rock and roll, you don't think of Black artists, right? Or women singing lead. You think of that just being in like hip hop, R&B or pop music. And, you know, we go play a lot of festivals where it's like 95% white people, you know, for us to be people of color fronting a band and singing songs that get them engaged. And it helps to, you know, make conversation. It helps to, you know, like if you don't know a Black person, you ain't got a Black friend or Black person in your life, it's harder to then shake off the things that have been embedded in your brain for generation on generation, you know, like, so we are trying to help end all that by being people that of color that are singing this music that people can get into.
Mr. Chambers, Lester, one of your songs, Funky, you performed with the Chambers Brothers. And now it's a part of Moon Alice. And you've made an updated version. Let's Get Funky, a fresh version. What's the reason for the new version? And how is it different playing with a new band?
It's great. The band is a lot more musically trained. The difference in then and now is the same. We want people to always know that Let's Get Funky doesn't mean something bad. It's good. Let's Get Funky is a dance that I wanted to be very popular, but it didn't get to be because the music was stopped. Playing it with Moon Alice, the new version is just incredible. It's enjoyable, and it's as much fun to play and sing then as it is now.
Dylan, what has been, you know, performing with your father, what has been one of the best lessons you've learned from him?
You know, never give up, never stop doing what you love, because you'll kind of just, you know, like a flower, you won't have, you know, music is like our sunlight, so we need that to bloom.
Let me ask your father, Mr. Chambers, what have you learned from your son performing with him and spending this time with him? What's the greatest lesson you've learned?
The greatest lesson I've learned is how to love him. And how to be with him and keep him happy and have him know that I only want to give him the best I can.
That was Lester Chambers and his son Dylan Chambers speaking with KALW's Janae Darden. You can see them perform with their band Moon Alice in Napa Valley this weekend at Bottle Rock Festival and on June 3rd at Golden Gate Park. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Henat Baba. May is Older Americans Month, and we've been celebrating with a series that profiles San Franciscans who are 80 and older. It's 80 Over 80 San Francisco.
A lot of things have changed. A lot of things have not.
Old age is coming along, and I need to have the time to experience it.
Orlando Cepeda, a.k.a. the Baby Bull, is a legendary San Francisco Giant and member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. The 84-year-old shared his memories and how he now views life through the lens of Buddhism in this interview for 80 Over 80.
I came to San Francisco to play ball. In 58, when I came here, I didn't know I was going to be able to make the team. A rookie, you never know. I used to play in Puerto Rico. And some guy who came to play there talked so much about San Francisco. So even before coming here, I was in love with the city. So coming to San Francisco was a blessing. I grew up in baseball, but my dad was a great ball player. And even though I grew up in baseball, you know, my life still, I don't want to be like my dad, you know, because he was a great player, and people tell me that, but I don't want to put pressure on me. And right now I find out more about my dad. Even though he died, you know. He died a day before I played my first big league game. So when I came here in 58, I remember my first game, my first hit in the big league. I hit a home run. I hit a home run on the fence, right field. I run the bases. And, you know, I was talking to myself. I can't believe this. I can, you know, this is for real. You know, because that's a dream come true. And so I never forget that. I'm a Buddhist. As a reason I turned to Buddhism, now I really explain everything. Don't let nobody stop you, or, you know. Or you, don't be defeated. Just go. Go with the flow. Because I just retired from baseball. And, you know, when you stop doing what you've been doing for a long time, when you stop, it's a huge change. I have no job, I'm working, and, you know. What I'm trying to say that, you know, baseball, when you stop playing, your life stop. No money coming in, and, because, you know, when you play ball, and people coming from everywhere, and, you know, they all love you, oh, I love you, this and that. But when you stop playing ball, but you no longer in the newspaper, this and that, people also retire too. Don't be defeated. Don't give up. Don't give up. You have to be able to listen to the people who have been there before. My father used to say that. If you have talent, let your talent to do it for you. Don't force anything. You know what I mean?
That was San Francisco senior Orlando Cepeda, interviewed for the 80 Over 80 San Francisco Project. The lead audio producer is Aussie Linus Goodman, and Achotos is the project director. You can find more profiles at kalw.org. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. We just heard from a baseball legend whose career started back in the 1950s. But now we're going to go back even further in the history of the game.
Driving by, I'm seeing them out here, and I'm like, what the heck is going on out here? They look funny. They got no gloves.
That's Takashi Holmes describing how puzzled he was to stumble on the Bay Area Vintage Baseball League. The league is devoted to playing by 19th century rules with uniforms and equipment from that era. In this story from our archives, reporter Christy Cole took some newfangled audio equipment out to one such contest to see how 19th century baseball was played.
It's a gorgeous sunny Sunday afternoon at Big Rec Field in San Francisco's Golden Gate Park. A small crowd is watching as the San Francisco Pelicans play the Barbary Coasters. It's the bottom of the third inning. The Pelicans just got a hit, putting a man on first base.
Ball.
From afar, this looks like most baseball games, but it's really not. The players' uniforms come from a different era. They wear pants that stop at the knees, knee-high socks with stripes, and short-billed caps without any logos. This is a game of the Bay Area Vintage Baseball League. There are more than 200 vintage teams across the country, from the Menominee Blue Caps in Wisconsin to the Allegheny Ironsides in Pennsylvania. The teams in the Bay Area League use rules from 1886, and they are different from today's game. For instance, the person you and I might call the pitcher is referred to in this game as the hurler. The Coasters hurler takes a small windup and throws.
Right.
Hurlers can't take the full windup that modern pitchers do. They're allowed 7 balls before being charged with a walk, but they can't intentionally walk a batter. It still takes 3 strikes to get a batter out, but outs are called hands in this league. Whatever you call them, you still need 3 to retire the side. The Coasters get the 3rd hand. Still, they're down 13-4 to the Pelicans. But Coasters infielder Wesley Goodman-Levy is not too bummed out by that. He's cheering for his fellow Coasters to rally.
Yeah, Petros!
Peaches happens to be one of Goodman-Levy's teammates. Nicknames are the norm in the Vintage League. Everybody's going to get one sooner or later. Wesley Goodman-Levy's is Dread Pirate.
For the first 2 months of playing with these guys, I really didn't know anyone's real name. It was just Juice and Butcher and Peterson and Reverend. It was pretty hilarious, like, trying to discern everyone's real name.
It's the start of the 7th and final inning. The Pelicans are ahead by 9 runs, and the Coasters have their last at bat. And by the way, if that score seems a little high for a baseball game, consider that players use a mitt that looks more like a gardening glove. That means plays such as a fly ball to the outfield are not automatic outs. The Coasters fail to score in the top of the 7th, ending the game. The teams gather at their respective dugouts to talk and enjoy the sunshine. Meanwhile, players in the next contest between the San Francisco Sea Lions and the San Francisco Eagles start to warm up under the watchful eye of umpire Carl Gibbs.
I'm simply referred to as the sir.
Gibbs says that's what the umpire was called in the 1880s.
A certain reverence they hold their umpires in, or did at least in 1886.
Gibbs wears a top hat, tie, and suit that make him look a little like the Monopoly guy. Only Gibbs has a goatee and more hair. He has played the sir in league games for 7 years. He joined after someone saw him officiate a trivia night at a Scottish bar in the Tenderloin.
So I put together a simple costume, bought a derby hat and wore a black suit, and I just got caught up in it. It's great fun.
That fun is about to begin for the next game between the Eagles and the Sea Lions. As the wind kicks up, bringing in some clouds, the Eagles are up to bat in the top of the 1st. The team is in its first year in the league, and they have yet to win a game.
One hand. Where's the one?
For these guys, the Vintage League is about being a part of living history. For instance, the Sea Lions took their name as a tribute to the team from the West Coast Negro League Baseball Association, which folded after 1 season. The Eagles go way back, too.
I've always been a baseball history nerd.
That's Tor Aagaard of the San Francisco Eagles. He's known as Wrangler.
We are a recreation of the very first organized baseball team in California. The San Francisco Eagles formed in 1859 and played their first game on February 22, President's Day of 1860.
After 3 innings, the Sea Lions lead 14-0. In the Eagles' dugout, Dominic Pops Altieri rubs his left elbow.
Yeah, I got an imprint on my elbow here where it looks like railroad tracks.
Pops got a raised red lump with stitch marks where the ball hit him. The players don't wear batting helmets or much in the way of protective gear, and that makes for lots of ways to get hurt, according to Chris Bullseye McNeil.
I broke a rib, I broke an ankle, dislocated my finger. That was an open dislocation. The ball seems to find a way to hit me, so I'm the bullseye. Lucky me.
Up, high, high.
Run.
Two hands. Place it there.
Now the Eagles are down to their last at bat. The final Eagles hitter grounds out. The other Eagles meet him near first base. The Sea Lions gather at 3rd.
Huzzah! 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 Sea Lions!
Then the teams come together at home plate for more salutes.
Huzzah, Chris!
And the old guy, 1, 2, 3.
Huzzah, sir!
Huzzah, gentlemen!
In San Francisco, traveling between eras of baseball history, I'm Christy Cole for Cross Currents.
That story first aired in 2018. If you want to see those knee-high socks and short-billed hats in action, the league's next games, 5 of them, are happening at several sites across the Bay on June 5th. We've got a link to their schedule at kelw.org. Today's Cross Currents team includes Angela Johnston, DeAndre Ball, Ryan Housel, James Rollins, Gabe Graben, Victor Tentz, Shireen Adil, Lisa Morehouse, Shia Levitt, Sunni Khaled, and Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.